In fact, here we go. River Island's guest line, it is time for Coach Kerr, presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. And actually, we've got a fun way to loop Great Clips into the start of this conversation. First off, good evening, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic. We wanted to have some fun and actually offer you a $100 gift card to Great Clips. And if you can answer this question correctly, and in these cases, we like to play game show music on this show. So we've got that underneath you. And here you go, Steve. Do you know exact to the number your career free throw percentage?
Free throw percentage?
Free throw percentage, Steve Kerr, career.
I'm going to say 85.
Oh, so sorry. Very, very close.
You don't let him round up?
Well, even if you round it up, you're still not there. You shortchanged yourself, Steve.
Really? What was I?
86.4.
Okay, well, I was close.
Yeah, close. But I mean, we're not giving out gift cards for close. I mean,
that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
All right, so by the way, to that end, free throw shooting, how do you approach this with a team when they're struggling, or even an individual?
Yeah, you know, I talk to guys individually periodically about free throws, but as a team, you know, the only thing we've really done in the past when we practice is we'll put pressure on them at the end of practice, like, you know, you got to come out in front of the whole team and make two. Well, otherwise, you got to do an up and back, and so we'll try to simulate pressure, and we'll do that occasionally. But once the season starts, you know, you're hardly ever practicing. Most practices are walkthroughs. Your players are resting. You don't get to a whole lot of that. So most free throw shooting is done on an individual basis, and. Clearly, I'm going to have to address it, and it's never really been an issue for us in the past. This is probably the first year I can ever remember that we've had, you know, real problems from the line. So definitely something we've got to address.
The good news is you're getting to the line more often, but the bad news is just 9 of 19 last night. Is some of this for players, and I'm thinking about pods individually, is it a confidence issue? Because it seems to me, just watching the games on TV, he's struggling with his shot, and then he goes 1 for 3 from the foul line as well.
Yeah, I think for sure. And free throw shooting generally is a confidence issue. You know, there are occasionally guys who just don't have a good stroke, and they're just going to struggle no matter, you know, whether it was Will Chamberlain or Shaq or someone like that. It's just, but that's not the case with our team. I think the guys who are struggling all have good shooting strokes, and so generally it's a confidence thing, and you just lose your rhythm, you lose your confidence, and then it's a lonely feeling when you go up there, and so. It really is something where you've got to have a mantra. You've got to have a routine where, you know, you're saying something. You're visualizing a great free throw that you had recently. But there are tools that you can use, and we obviously have to help our guys with that stuff.
Coach, take us through last night when you said, you know, on that last possession, you wanted to call timeout, but I guess you couldn't get the referee's attention in time?
Well, I was considering it, you know, I knew I didn't want to call it once we got the steal, because I'd rather play out of a scramble than, you know, set up a play. A scramble situation is exactly what you want. So we got the scramble, the ball was moving. Once it kind of looked like we were in some trouble, we almost turned it over a couple times. I started yelling timeout, but I'm all the way at the other end of the floor. The only way you're going to get that timeout is if you're right in front of the ref. And as it turned out, we ended up getting a great look. I was proud of Gary for letting that thing go. He put a really good stroke on it and right off the back rim. So, you know, that's something you take in a scramble situation. You get a good look. That's about as good as you're going to do.
The bad news is 19 turnovers, and the good news is, as I was telling Mark earlier, down 9 with 3 minutes to go, and you showed some fight. When you look at that game last night, is it a glass half full of the rally late or the glass half empty of the overall sloppiness?
No, glass half full. And some of the reason for the glass being half full is the sloppiness itself, because I know we can get better. And you know, we're doing some different things this year. Our patterns offensively are a little different. We're putting Steph and Draymond in some different situations. So they're going to get better, as is our whole team. But it's really up to them to to us execution-wise to see the pictures cleanly and recognize when to attack, when not to. And I just thought we got into a little bit of a rush. Both games we've played the Clippers, they've gotten us into a little bit of a rush. They're an excellent defensive team. And, and we started turning it over. But the good news is second half, only 6 turnovers. Obviously played much better, even without making a ton of shots. So I feel really good about our team.
Steve Kerr with us, Withered and Dibs, as he is every week here, 95.7 The Game. Coach, I hope there's been enough space between last Friday night and now to where we can at least look back on it with a little bit of a half chuckle. I wonder, based on some video we saw, when the game ended against Memphis, Moses Moody clearly knew, right? He knew that you were hot. Like, what was going on over there where he sort of knew right away, I better protect my coach?
It was just a frustrating fourth quarter. You know, quarter and a half, all the fouls, the game was so disjointed, so... It was not fun to experience that down the stretch. I'm never proud when I go after officials. These guys are they're all good guys. They work hard. They're doing their best. I thought it was a tough night for them, and that's what I was letting them know. But I didn't particularly think it was a good look for me.
When you look to impart that message, and you don't normally let the passion get the best of you, but what is the way that you feel like you can impart that? Because the crew did have a rough second half, and you do want to get that point across, and we all wait for the last 2-minute report, which is a bunch of hooey, if you ask me, because they don't fix anything.
Yeah,
but
it is.
How do you get your frustrations out in the appropriate way?
Well, you try to be patient and have civil conversations with the officials and I felt that was happening through most of the game, and then I sort of lost my mind. So it's just I'm pretty competitive, and I can snap once in a while, and whether it's on the team or on a clipboard or on a ref. And like I said, I'm not proud of those moments, but it is who I am.
Or heck, even Steph Curry sometimes, right? Like, how about this, Steve? I don't know if you heard this yet, but Draymond went on the podcast and was sharing a little bit of his perspective when he was watching you kind of get on Steph at the end of that Boston game. Have you heard yet what he said about that?
No.
Okay, here, let's play it for everybody. I would love to hear your perspective on what his perspective was.
I'm immediately watching that and I see it. And I'm watching Steph's reaction and how he responds to it. Because if he responds negatively, I've already told myself, like, I need to go talk to Coach and make sure Coach understand the reaction. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. To make sure Coach understand, hey, Steph ain't respond great to you yelling at him like that.
Yeah.
Let's just keep an eye on that. So that's already my mindset. You have to know what make your guys tick and what makes... And what makes them not, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm watching that like a hawk. In turn, I'm then watching the post-game press conferences. And Steph like, nah, I want to be coached like everybody else. That statement lines up with the way you continue to play after you and Steve had your moment. I wash my hands, and I'm on to the next thing.
I think that's a fascinating view to the inside of how you guys as a group kind of handle a situation like that. What's your response to what he's saying there?
I think he's dead on. I think it's my job as a coach to know how everyone's going to react. And I learned in year one with Steph that I could yell at him and I would get a good response. He does want to be coached. What he said to the media afterwards is the truth.
And I've had experiences with other guys where, you know, I yelled at them or got on them and they didn't respond well. And I marked that in my mental Rolodex and I didn't yell at them anymore because in the game, because that wasn't an effective way to coach them. So it's up to me to understand how each guy's going to respond. I think the biggest thing, and Steph knows this, Draymond knows this, I'm coaching those two guys this year to take care of the ball, because if they don't, we can't win. I've said this to the media many times. We can't play like we did 5 years ago and expect to win, because we don't have an overwhelming talent advantage like we did then. So it's up to me as a coach to demand the things that we need to do to win the game, and both Steph and Draymond understand that and respect that, and that's why they let me coach them.
Do you have to have a little bit more turnover tolerance this year, Steve, because you're asking for a faster pace and you're also asking for more ball movement?
No, because the counter to that is we are much more organized this year than we have been in the past. In the past, we haven't insisted on perfect spacing and we haven't insisted on, you know, getting to spots and then playing kind of secondary offense out of the break. We've really given them a lot of freedom, and it's been very successful. But the last couple of years, you know, we have not done well. We won one playoff round in 2 years. So this year required some changes. We're still moving the ball, but we're doing it out of more structure, and we're demanding the structure. And we're getting there. We have a long ways to go, but I'm really encouraged. Even watching the tape last night, there's a lot of good stuff. And all this stuff is really nuanced. You know, you're not going to be able to see it just by me, you know, saying this. I'd have to kind of break down the tape with you. But because we're doing some different things, we're demanding different things, that doesn't give them license to turn it over. It's the exact opposite. We're demanding that they take the ball, take care of the ball, as we get better organized and better spaced.
Coach Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, I know he's out tomorrow, but do you have any further update on DeAnthony Melton?
Not yet. We will soon. You know, he's been seeking, you know, other opinions, and we've really been evaluating everything, just trying to get him the best advice he can get, and we're obviously very concerned. You know, anytime you're talking about an ACL, it's I had one in college and you know, tore it completely and had surgery and you know, it's a serious injury. So we're really taking our time and making sure, you know, DeAnthony gets all of the advice he needs.
Steph, with a less serious knee ailment, I won't even say injury, with reportedly he's probable with bursitis. Are you and the staff starting to already take a little bit of a look at where you might be able to give him rest? I don't want to use the phrase load management, because that's a dirty word and I could lose my job for cursing like that. But are you guys starting to look at it, Steve, early on?
No, we honestly just you know, to sort of take it week by week, and you know, how's Steph feeling? You know, how is he banged up at all? What's the schedule look like? And he's, you know, he has had the knee issue, and so we'll continue to monitor it. But if he's injured and needs to sit, then he's going to sit, and that's you know, that's the way it is. So we'll just we'll navigate the season as best we can.
Even when he is playing, it feels like this year the quote non-Steph minutes are more productive than they were last year. How are you feeling about non-Steph minutes?
I feel great about them. I think we have such a deep team. We have so many guys who can make decisions and handle the ball. So I think our you know, our non-Steph minutes to this point have been really good. I haven't looked at the numbers, but I believe they're well on the positive side, and that's a testament to our players and the depth of our roster, and you know, the job that Mike Dunleavy and his staff did this past summer. I really love this group. I love the way the pieces of the puzzle fit, and I've said it this first month of the season. I think we're better suited to handle those non-Steph minutes, non-Draymond minutes than we have been for a long time.
Jonathan Kuminga has been a big key coming off the bench, and it's been, you know, a couple of full weeks now of him being ostensibly a sixth man for you. How comfortable is he getting with this role, and are you seeing this now as really the long-term fit for Jonathan?
I like the role for him because he gives us something that we need, you know, that force, that ability to get to the rim, ability to get fouled. He's had a great run here coming off the bench, and so I anticipate that will continue. But, you know, you're always one injury away from everything changing potentially. So you just take it game by game. But I love what JK's doing for us, and his attitude and his approach have been fantastic. And, you know, again, the team has come together well. Everybody's committed, and it's fun to watch.
Steve Kerr with us, Willard and Dibbs. Coach, I could throw numbers out to our audience, but I actually, when I think of Brandon Pajemski, I think you've always talked about all the things that he does that don't really show up in numbers. But some of the numbers don't, you know, even the non-numbers. Like his play right now, he looks like he's searching a little bit. What do you see?
Yeah, same. He's searching a little bit. This is not, you know, unusual for a young player to have some, you know, a bump in the road. He's such a good player. He just has such good feel for the game and for what wins. And but even among, you know, during his shooting struggles, he is he's playing at a really high level. But we know he can play a lot better, and that's exciting.
0 for 4, 16 minutes, 1 point, yet a plus 2 in the plus minus. And I know it's a small sample, but that to me is indicative of a guy who is at least contributing to winning basketball.
He seems to be, you know, on the plus side every single game. You see the subtle things that he does. I thought his rebounding against Memphis to start the second half, you know, we started him in the second half because Lindy was injured. And he got three or four rebounds in traffic, and then we went down and scored the other end and broke the game open. Those plays are massive. The ability to get the ball, you know, out of traffic and make the right pass and create the advantage that you need offensively. He does stuff like that all the time, and he's a winning player, and he's going to get a lot better as he finds his groove again.
Steve, I want to jump out of the box here for a second and ask you something, your perspective on something I hear a lot of people right now say about the San Francisco 49ers. I wonder if you can relate. Really, really big expectations. A team that has gone through a number of years of playing extra games, going into January, going into February, and people are looking at them now and wondering if there's sort of an emotional exhaustion that might be affecting them in some way. And I wonder what your perspective is, having been on a run with so many teams that play so much extra basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be clear that I'm not talking about the Niners, because I don't know,
sure,
you know, what the vibe is in the building. But I can say from experience that, you know, you have a run like this that lasts, you know, 6-7 years, it is exhausting. There's no question. And, you're climbing the mountaintop and, you know, trying to get there year after year, and you get there and then you got to start all over again. And it's not easy. This stuff, you know, this stuff is so competitive. Everybody's gearing for you. Man, it's tough. So we've been there and we understand, you know, that kind of emotional wear and tear for sure.
And when you got there to that point in the Toronto loss, and then there was the pandemic, and then it was the play and miss, and then you got back and you won another title, did it take a couple of years to really reestablish that authentic hunger to get back there, or is that an overstatement?
No, I think that's fair. I mean, you know, we obviously lost a ton of guys, you know, that first year after the Toronto series. So that was tough, but I do think that having a couple of down seasons, you know, not making the playoffs, it gave guys a longer off season, made them hungrier, and that did set up the 22 season for sure.
Hey, Steve, is it too early for looking at any standings whatsoever and at least making the judgment that, boy, the West looks a lot deeper than the East, and so we can predict the complaints at the end of the season of, like, right, like somebody who won 45 games missed the playoffs, but in the East they won 36 and they're the sixth seed.
Yeah, I mean, it might happen. We'll see how it plays out. It's obviously early, but it does appear the West is much deeper than the East this year. You know, but that's why we have to be on top of our game. That's why I have to yell at Steph Curry for a turnover. That's why I have to demand the things that I need to demand. Because, I mean, a year ago we missed the playoffs by two games. And, you know, two years prior to that, I think we won, if I'm not mistaken, we won 51 games and won the championship. You know, so the difference between, you know, being in a great spot in the playoffs with a good seed and having a chance for things to break your way versus, you know, you're in the play-in and you have a bad night and you're out. I mean, it's very slim. The margins are so slim with all this stuff. And especially now in the West, given how deep the whole conference is.
I'm less concerned with the West than I am Group C. 2-0, Steve, off to a good start in the NBA Cup. Does it get the juices flowing when you have one of these Cup games, knowing that, you know, you guys are just a couple of wins away from maybe something special and unique?
It actually does. You know, it's funny. My impression here in year two is that, you know, if you can win the first one or two like we have, then all of a sudden, you know, your ears perk up. And if things go wrong, you know, if you've got a bunch of injuries or whatever and you have a tough night and you lose the first one, or, you know, maybe all of a sudden you're just kind of like, well, it's not meant to be. But our guys are excited. You know, we have another Cup game in New Orleans this week. If we win that one, we're in great shape. We'd be 3-0, and everybody else has at least a loss. And it's, you know, it'd be pretty interesting to advance, our guys are competitors. You know, they love to win, and it would be fun to advance and see if we could, you know, get going in that thing.
Yeah, Steve, I thought I read your lips after the Memphis game. What you said to that ref was, "This is the NBA Cup, and you're ruining our chances."
Something like that.
Differential's like a thing.
Point differential. Yeah. Hey, couple quick things before you go, Steve. How's Kevon Looney feeling, and might he play tomorrow night?
He's feeling better. He got a workout in today, and so I think he's questionable for tomorrow, but knowing Loon, I think he'll be ready to go.
Okay, and reportedly the Dodgers meeting with Juan Soto today. Your thoughts?
Oh, my God. As if they need any more talent on their team. So how about the Giants? Are the Giants getting a meeting with Soto?
TBD, Steve.
All right. I hope they do, because watching that guy hit is, there might not be a better guy to watch. The way he glares at the pitcher,
right?
Nods his head after a good pitch, you know, kind of agrees with the pitcher's choice. You know, I love watching that guy hit. He is incredible. So I hope he comes here. That'd be fun to watch every night.
It'd be great to see him hit 420 feet out to right center and having the right fielder catch it, don't you think?
Well, I appreciate you guys. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay, take care.
Yep, you too. There it is. That's Steve Kerr right here on William Dibbs 95.7 The
and
Game.
And elite canine control from Steve
today.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Unless he
worried about my dog.
Yeah.
Hey. Cut it out.
Unless he wasn't at home, but he got those two pups in order.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. I mean, like, I think they saw the way he talked to Steph, and they looked at each other like, we better button this thing up around here.
Yeah.
So,
and how he talked to the ref, which, you know, it's just one of those weird ones when it happens after a win. And I know that that game got closer than anybody would have wanted, but you won that thing pretty handily, and yet he still was that mad.
I mean, I have to admit, just my entry point to all of this was, as I said, We go home Friday night. The kids aren't home. We open up a bottle of champagne. We're watching the Warriors play. The Warriors go up by 1,000 points. And lovely Christy convinces me to turn on this ridiculous show
on
Netflix.
60 million viewers.
Mine didn't buffer, so we're able to see the whole thing.
Oh, boy.
I wished it had buffered so that maybe I could have left because nothing happened. For those of you where it was buffering, nothing happened.
Talking about Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson.
You missed nothing. And then that whole clam bake ends. And each, like, every time, like, in between rounds, I'm like, go back to the Warrior game and let's make sure everything's cool. And it was, and it was, and it was. And then all of a sudden, you get back to the end of the Warrior game. It's like, oh, they're only up by 10. There's only a minute to go, though, so I think we're fine. And then they win by 5. And then here comes Steve, like, flying out after the refs.
And Draymond had already been ejected.
Yeah, and you're like, what happened?
Yeah.
It took a while to even know, like, what it was that built up that level of frustration in a game that seemed like they were on cruise control the whole time.
It turned into a ref show after halftime, and it was both ways. It was just, you couldn't make it two trips down the floor without a whistle and a foul both ways. There was no flow to the game. No flow. Right, no progressive.
Wait a minute, let's go to Joe in San Jose who thinks that I asked a stupid question of Steve Kerr. Hi, Joe. What are you doing?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I mean, no, I'm just saying, like, the Draymond Green podcast, that, why didn't you guys bring that up? That's irrelevant because Draymond been with Steve Kerr for years, and why did he thought that he yelling at Steve Kerr was so surprising when they've been to the rodeo so many times? I don't understand that.
Well, Draymond's the one who was talking about it. Have you ever heard Draymond talk about watching Steve Kerr yell at Steph Curry, keeping an eagle eye on it, so that he could see how Steph would react? Have you ever heard that before?
No, but they've been together for so many years. It doesn't matter. You see my point? It doesn't matter because why is he so surprised when they've been together for so many years? I just thought it was kind of weird. That's all.
Okay.
But it was a great interview.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
I thought the surprise for me stemmed from Draymond addressing it and Draymond being surprised.
Right.
Why I think it was apropos, because Draymond sounded surprised that Steve went this hard at Steph, to where Draymond's like, I'm going to have to monitor this.
I also would like to spotlight the question, why does it matter? Well, it doesn't have to. Like, it can just be interesting.
Yeah.
Like, that's all. I mean, I could argue if you really want to go down that road, Joe. We're here hosting a sports radio show that is largely about the Warriors, Giants, and 49ers. And then once a month, it'll be about something stupid like Mike Tyson.
Mm.
None of it matters. It all matters, and none of it matters.
Agreed.
You're going to go to bed tonight, no matter who won and no matter who lost. So none of it matters, but I find a lot of it interesting.
And I thought that was interesting, Draymond comments.
And we should play, because there might be people who just joined here and we haven't played it for 20 minutes. This is what Draymond said, and he was talking about the game in Boston a couple of weeks ago and watching Steve Kerr yell at Steph Curry.
I'm immediately watching that and I see it. And I'm watching Steph's reaction and how he responds to it. Because if he responds negatively, I've already told myself, like, I need to go talk to Coach and make sure Coach understand the reaction. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. To make sure Coach understand, hey, Steph ain't respond great to you yelling at him like that.
Yeah.
Let's just keep an eye on that. So that's already my mindset. You have to know what make your guys tick and what makes and what makes them not. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm watching that like a hawk. In turn, I'm then watching the post-game press conferences. And Steph like, nah, I want to be coached like everybody else. That statement lines up with the way you continue to play after you and Steve had your moment. I wash my hands, and I'm on to the next thing.
That's Draymond Green bringing you behind the curtain.
Yeah.
What's not cool about that?
It's very cool, and it's really interesting, and I hadn't thought about it in terms of Draymond's perspective, because Draymond is normally the guy who barks at people, and just thinking about how many times he's barked at Steph, I can't remember too many instances where, you know, he just straight up barked at him. There's been some back and forth over the years, of course, but to have him react like that to Steve doing it tells me that Steve probably doesn't do it very often either out front.
I wouldn't think so. I mean,
Steph's a pretty good basketball player. You don't. You probably don't have to do that a lot.
This Steph guy's killing us.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. One thing I do think we've learned over the last two conversations with Steve, and then actually just watching Warrior basketball, that I don't think a lot of people know, Steve runs hot.
Oh, yeah.
Steve's like you.
Well, yeah. He's got a lot more class and a lot more perspective.
No, but like likable, but then like you get to know him a little bit. You go see a few sides.
Well, he is super competitive.
I don't care.
And he's won 9 of the last 29 NBA championships.
Yep.
So if you want to talk about who wins, he's won 9 of the last 29 as a player and as a coach. He won 5 as a player and 4 as a coach. So this man knows competition. And just to see him do that against Memphis after a win, to beeline for the ref and wriggle around two different players to get your finger pointing point across, that tells me that he was super mad.
Absolutely.
Because after a win, normally you just brush it off and maybe you send an email to the league office and say, hey, do me a favor.
Firmly worded
email. Look at these three guys. Could you look at what they did to that game? It was a joke, but after a loss, I could see it. I actually was in a spot like that coaching high school volleyball where we lost a match in a tournament. I walked right up to the ref afterward and said, you are terrible. And I walked away. 2 minutes later, the tournament director comes over with the ref. Boop! Ejected after the match, which means I got to sit out the next match. Ejected after the fact.
You are terrible.
It was a strongly worded opinion. It was accurate. It was uncalled for. High school volleyball.
How many times have you spoken like that to a person before in your life?
Probably 744.
Yeah, see, I think I've only done that like once.
Yeah.
Like where you really, you know what I mean? Like a finger in the face. It's the story I told you last week when I was leaving that restaurant after working there for 3 years after college. I just went up to the office and I'm like, everybody hates you. You're terrible to people. Nobody likes the way you talk to them, and you should stop. And that was it. Outside of that, not really my thing.
Yeah, and mine
you
either, but...
You are terrible.
I run hot.
I said that to myself when I watched you ref my son's game last year.
That I was terrible?
Yeah.
I was great that day.
I was kidding.
I know.
But
it's funny because you were trying to, like, harass me playfully.
Hate referee
dibs. But people who don't know the bit, people are starting to look at you like, what's wrong with this guy?
Yeah, I know.
Yelling at the ref.
Come on!
Call us out, Dad!
Yeah, like, don't let my son miss a shot! Ref! Yeah.
Your boy did give me the Iguodala, which I didn't really appreciate. The double palms up from a fourth grader.
I mean, you should see how many times I see that in a day.
Yeah, I bet.
Hey, Dad, what's for dinner? Well, we're having this. What?
I'm going to eat it.
Yeah. Let's go to Daniel in Livermore. Hi, Daniel. What's up with you tonight?
Just driving home from work.
All right, good.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate you guys and your show every night. It makes a hard and emotionally exhaustive workplace just good. Coming home and getting to listen to you guys.
Where do you work, Daniel? Or like, what do you do if you don't want to out your company?
No, you're good. I wouldn't say my company is emotionally exhaustive. I would say the work I do is emotionally exhaustive. I'm in social work and I work with unhoused folks and.
Well,
help them connect to their, you know, their next step and move forward and all that.
You know what? Thank you for what you do. Yeah, that's very, very important work. All right, what's up, Daniel?
Appreciate you. First off, I think that Draymond Green bit was very interesting. We don't often often get to see behind the curtain like that, especially like in press conferences. You know, stuff is kind of glazed over at time, but that podcast gives you a lot of insight. And so, after hearing it again. I can't help but wonder if there's a little bit of like residual for Draymond seeing what happened with Klay Thompson and maybe there was, you know, conversations that weren't handled well between him and Steve or something like that. And so Draymond's a little bit more alert now. He doesn't want to see Steph in any kind of position where it's, you know, there's a compromise in the relationship. And so when I listened to it again just now, I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's what's going on there.
That's interesting. Yeah, Daniel, thanks. Safe drive home, man. I don't know if, this might be a new subject to us, but I don't feel like necessarily it's new to them. So, in other words, is Draymond now, as he said, watching it like a hawk? because of recent events with the Warriors, from Klay Thompson to Jordan Poole to whatever, or is this simply, is this something that Draymond does? Is this something that Draymond has seen? And this is kind of the way I take it. Like, is this something that Draymond sees as his role with the Golden State Warriors? I would argue that that's kind of what he's been and who he's been. And I know it's hard for people to kind of receive that, because we've watched big moments from Draymond Green where we would really question the leadership, and we don't feel good about that action, whether it's with a ref or with Jordan Poole or whatever. I don't know, man. I take my cues from the organization and the people around him, and I give a little space for the fact that for years and years and years and years, when Draymond does something that turns off the fans, the organization has his back, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. And it's often a reason that we don't know, but there's clearly a reason for that. They have never once thought that what he's doing isn't worth it. It isn't better for them as opposed to worse for them. That's what I would say. Yeah, Grandy, what's going on?
Well, yeah, I was just going to agree with you. I mean, like, you remember when last year in Orlando, when Draymond Green, I forget exactly what it was that he did. He committed a hard foul and
you're talking about when he got thrown out like 2 minutes into the game.
Yeah, and Steph Curry was on the court like crying nearly.
Yep.
And I think Steve Kerr came on with you guys, might have been the next day, like very soon after that game, and it ultimately said something along the lines of, that can't happen, right. Draymond knows better, like he can't do that. And then a week after that, he basically brushed it off like it was no big deal. Like, he was like, yeah, I mean, that's just Draymond.
Totally.
Like, it was within 24 hours after it happened, it was like the biggest possible thing. And then a week later, it was,
There were a few things last year where, and Steve has even joked to himself about it, where they're like, look, this is a zero tolerance policy. We will not tolerate this. And then, like, there's no punishment. And he just comes back and Steve's like, I guess we tolerated it.
So clearly there's a disconnect between how we on the outside view and feel it versus how they clearly value what he brings.
I would argue that part of that, and I'm guessing here to a degree, but I would argue that Draymond is their family. They are one another's family, right? They're together all the time. And don't you all do this with your family? Don't you get into that argument with your spouse or your child or whatever, and you'll be like, silent treatment. I'm like, I've had it. I'm waiting for that person to come apologize to me. It lasts for like 67 minutes. And you're like, what do you want to do for dinner? You know, like that's family. And so I think that Draymond drives them up the wall and then they go get a bite to eat. And they're like, well, we need him. That's our guy. That's our guy. And he is. He's their guy. Like, was it Jay Billis that came on last week who was like, Draymond Green is... I mean, he's literally one of the most unique, most effective people in the history of the NBA in terms of what he tries to do. So there's clearly more to it than we realize.
And those two texts that he got at the end of the Memphis game, not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
At all.
Were people out there trying to get him suspended today in the media?
Yeah, I mean...
Kendrick Perkins, Stephen A. Smith...
I know Taylor Jenkins, the Memphis
head was about
coach.
That was about the foul against Edie. Memphis on Edie.
Yeah.
Taylor Jenkins.
Second half of that. I mean, Steve Kerr, just on with you guys a half hour ago. If you missed it, Odyssey app, YouTube, you can find it everywhere. He said he was a little ashamed by how he reacted. Like, yeah. He was well within his rights to react like that.
I know
your attention was kind of split between the fight.
I've gone back and looked at it now, though. Yeah.
35 combined fouls, 49 combined free throws in the second half alone.
Yeah, that's brutal. It's just
the worst half of basketball I have ever watched.
Bad product. It's just a bad product. All right, we're sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. We love to do fun at 5:45, and there's been a lot today about yelling, right? Actually, over the last week and a half, right? Debo Samuel and Tabor Pepper, Steve Kerr yelling at Steph Curry, or 2 days of reaction about frustration with Kyle Shanahan. How about this? Fun question. We'll take your calls on the way out the door. If you could yell at any Bay Area sports personality, if you could just let it out for 30 seconds on any Bay Area sports personality, who would it be? So call in now and let us know. 888-957-9570. If you could have 30 seconds to yell at any Bay Area sports personality, who would it be? 888-957-9570. We'll have some fun on the way out the door. Take your calls on that next. Your texts, all of it, right here on Willard and Tibbs. Damn it, Farhan!
What are you asking exactly? I'm so confused by your question.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I got my answer.
Yeah?
You got 20 or 30 seconds to just let it out to any Bay Area sports personality. You got one?
I have a couple, but I want to hear yours first.
All right. Camilla Duvall.
I was actually thinking about that.
I would like to sit down with Camilla Duvall and give him a piece of my mind.
And just yell at him.
Well, I mean,
who do you think you are?
I mean, I'm not like, I mean, it's funny. I posed the question, but the idea of just like unloading, like screaming at a person, I'm sort of kind of against it. But like, there's a lot of frustration in my mind pointed at that person right now. And I do think there's a very solid chance that he got himself traded with the way he behaved last year. And so, just so people know, this isn't because, like, I'm never going to be, like, I'm going to scream at this person because he threw a fastball over the middle of the plate and Juan Soto hit the bat. Right. It's not about that. I think that Camilo spent the majority of the year thinking that he was more important than the team. I think he thinks that his certain way of going about his business and the way he is viewed and the way the team utilizes him and all of that stuff became more important than Giants baseball and throwing strikes when you go out onto the mound. And he went from all-star to getting sent to Sacramento. And I like, to me, when a team does that, that's not just because you're struggling. They're sending you a message, homeboy. They're sending you a message.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I don't know where he is on all of this right now, but yeah, I think Camilo Duvall needs a little wake-up call.
Yeah, so you get to yell at this person, and they're not allowed to do anything back to you, right?
Yeah, that's kind of a bit. Okay. You just got to sit there and listen.
I have two answers. One is, I just want to yell at Kevin Dana, and I just want to yell Dana-isms at Kevin Dana for 20 or 30 seconds.
Cash me out one time!
Just because he's standing
Gucci.
By. Just
because
he's
standing.
I love it.
Rain dance!
Warriors Roundtable.
Rain dance!
13 minutes away, Warriors Roundtable.
My real answer is Trent Williams. You telling me I get to just up and scream at the biggest, baddest, most ferocious, toughest guy
in the Bay?
I mean,
you better do it with a bullhorn so you're not in arm's reach.
No, you told me I get a free pass.
Yeah, but when it's over, they can come get you.
Oh. Well, can I change my answer, Mr. Williams?
I can honestly say you're sort of not built for this.
Yeah, in that case, I'm going to go with a Jake Moody, the kicker.
No, why do you want to yell at Trent?
Just because he didn't.
What do you want to say?
I want to say you didn't come into camp. You held out. And when you came in, you weren't ready. And when you weren't ready, the team suffered a little bit. You had an early loss, and you had to go to oxygen on the sideline. And I know you wanted your money, and you got your money, but you were a part of the problem in training camp that this team was not whole. You need to own up to it, 71. You need to take it, 71. Now, I'm going to politely get in this Uber and speed away from the scene. Have a nice day.
Text line got a lot of John Fishers.
Good one.
A lot of John Fishers.
That's an easy one, but yeah.
That's an easy one, yeah.
Dave Cavill would be second on the list.
Sure. A lot of people don't even know who that is, yep. But yeah, that's kind of the
mouthpiece
for the used-to-be Oakland A's. 925, the only right answers are the Niners special teams coach and or Jake Moody.
Okay.
415, I would love to be able to cuss out your MAGA linebacker. I mean,
he's a defensive end, but yeah. I mean, the linebacker might be too.
Who knows? They're all doing the Trump dance now, right? Let's find out what Dre in Oakland says. Hey, Dre. Dre?
Gone.
No way. No Dre. Larry?
It's a two.
Hi, Larry. I mean, it's 5:45. It's actually funny. A three. Hi, Larry. What are you doing?
I'm driving across the bay on the way home.
Good luck.
Anyway, Barry Bonds, that's my guy. That's the guy I would love to yell at.
Why?
Because he treated me like a jerk. He came to my restaurant one time. We were closed way after lunch at 4 o'clock. He walked in. This is at the private club, right? I made my staff reopen just for him. He gave me a stink eye the whole time and never thanked us.
Wow. Were these in the play?
I was shocked.
Were these in the playing days?
This is back in when I was at, can I mention where I was working?
Sure.
I was chef at the Olympic Club.
You were chef at what club?
Olympic Club.
Oh, at the Olympic Club. Oh, at the Olympic Club. Are you still there or no?
No, I'm not there anymore. I'm chef for this culinary school on Treasure Island.
Oh, the culinary school of Treasure Island. Nice. All right.
Yeah.
Can we come eat your food?
Sure. We teach nothing. We have underserved students. We teach a trade.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So, no, but this was this was what year? What year, Larry?
I would say 2008.
2008. That's right at the end of his career.
Yeah.
Right at the end of his career.
All right.
Yeah, Larry. Go ahead. What's up?
Well, I also work at the Carnini Room before September 11th, and he used to come in all the time in his car, and all the parking attendants told me he was such a jerk. And I would back up Barry every time. He said, no way. I love Barry Bonds, right? And then, true and behold, a few years later on, I experienced his entitlement attitude.
Mm. Well,
he's amazing. He's a great hitter, but yeah. God, he made me feel like nothing.
Ugh. Well, Larry, I'll say this, and I didn't have very much experience with Barry Bonds, the player. I interviewed him a couple of times. I think that Barry the player and Barry the retired person is a different person.
Completely.
Yeah.
But there are more stories like that than there are stories of, man, Barry was so nice to me. He spent 5 minutes with me. You don't get as many of those as you do.
I could give you one from just like a few months ago. That actually happened to me. But
That's Barry, not playing days, Barry. Though.
No. This is Barry now. Yeah. Like, I mean,
different guy.
I think Barry has turned over a new leaf, and that's a very good thing. Oh, Dre called back. Hi, Dre. What's up?
What's going on, fellas? I had to get in on this one because I tell you who I would give it to.
Who?
Andrew Wiggins.
Oh.
Andrew Wiggins would get it.
Why?
Every time he would stand in the corner, because he has no moments. He has no moments. He has no scream on you moments. He has those moments where he says, give me the ball, give me a screen, or get out of the way and let me cook. I want to see him just go. He has the talent for it. He has the talent. I want to see him go absolutely bonkers and then scream on somebody.
I mean,
stop standing in the corner, go ask for the ball. I want to see him yell at Steph Curry, say, give me the ball. And he has the talent. So I think I just give it to him.
Okay.
And then I go sit courtside and give it to him all game.
Thanks, Dre. Andrew does have one moment. He has one moment. I mean, the dunk
on
Luka in the conference finals. That was one for sure. John in Concord. Hi, John. What's up?
Oh, hey. Do I turn the radio down? Sorry, I'm new at this.
That'd be great.
That would be preferable. Yep, we sure can.
Yeah. Sorry. I just wanted to say, Damon Bruce, is he still on your program?
No,
he's not.
Wait, sorry. James Harden looks like he looks ridiculous, man. Why does that guy shave his face ever? It's like, how can he play basketball with a beard that heavy? It's ridiculous.
John,
are you going to get beat by the Clippers? He's an old man. He out-old-manned the Warriors. I can't believe it. I'm beyond myself. And Jordan Poole, we would have had another ship. So I blame Draymond for that.
John, are you running material on this show that is off schedule? Did you just call in to turn your radio down and not answer the question and then just run material? Did that just happen?
No, he said anyone in sports. I said James Harden.
I did not say anyone in sports. John, you need to listen better. I did not say anyone in sports. I said anyone in Bay Area sports. James Harden is not in Bay Area sports just because he played a Bay Area sports team last night. That is an illegal procedure. and you did not lose 5 yards, but you did lose the connection to the radio station. And by the way, I'd like to pass that message along to the 650, who also texted in with 8 exclamation points, Farhan! Also no longer in Bay Area sports. He is not employed.
Damn it, Farhan!
Yeah. Although maybe he's just, he or she is just being playful because of our sound drop. That's a possibility as well. Do you two have any, you guys in the other room, you Grandies and director of sports, Lucas Alexanders?
My first thought was Kyle Shanahan. Obviously he hasn't been great of late, but it's for one specific reason. Fire the special teams coordinator. Do something to address this.
They got an A-plus on Sunday, Grandy.
From that, you?
Yes, that's correct.
Not from... And the reason you gave them an A-plus was because they didn't single-handedly tank the game.
That's right, because it's the first time...
You're grading on a major curve.
First time I didn't want to pull my eyes out while watching them play.
Although they were close.
if the ball from Jordan Mason had been picked up by the other team, then I would have pulled my eyes out. But they didn't. He slapped it out of bounds, so we're okay.
If there is not a major overhaul this offseason of everything special teams related, then I don't know what to say.
Hey, Lucas, did you have one? Or did you want to cower out of this?
I was going to say Shanahan, but it's too obvious right now.
I mean, thanks to both of you for really digging deep on that one. Appreciate it.
You got it. Anytime. You're welcome.
All right. Hey, that was fun today, everybody. Thank you very much for being with us. We really appreciate it. Want to remind you again, if you're new to the station, if you're new to the show, stay a while. We try to have a good time, mess around a little bit, and we hope that if you're checking us out for the first time, that you're enjoying what you're finding. Guess what? We do it every day. I mean, not on Saturday and Sunday, but we are. We're going to do it again tomorrow. Here does come Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean, Warriors Roundtable, okay? A full hour of everything going on with the Dubs. That's what's coming up, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Why don't you shoot your shot? It's all you got.